Go to our Lord with prayer. Dear Father God, we're here this Sunday morning, Lord, and we thank you so much for a beautiful day. It sure looks like it's going to be great. We thank you for a wonderful track to get to ride on. A lot of good people that worked really hard to put this together for us to where we can have fun. And I know that you have no problem with us having fun, but you want to be number one in our life. And since you do want to be number one, we want to start our day with you. We thank you so much for all you do. We thank you for the message you're about to give us, Father, and speak through me and just let everyone get something out of this that they can use today and in the days to come. We just praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last couple times we were together, and I know we do this a lot, you know, we talk about what God wants us to do. And there's a whole bunch of things that he asks us, you know, he would like us to do. And it seems like a lot of rules and regulations, which they basically are, but they're to help us to make things better for us. You know, the old saying, Father knows best. But today what I want to talk about is what God does for us. We're just going to reverse that today. And I want to start with a verse out of Psalms. It's Psalms 91, verse 14. It says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Well, that's a real cool one to hear right off the start. I mean, I think that's a good way to start. God's telling me that if I acknowledge his name, he's going to rescue me, he's going to protect me, he's going to take care of me. That's pretty awesome. And I want to read another verse out of 2 Thessalonians, and it's in chapter 3. It says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. There's another really good one, because we're always worried about, you know, being under attack, you know. Non-Christians, that sounds kind of weird to them, but I mean, we know what we're talking about. I mean, there are angels and there are demons, and they do try to whisper in our ear and try to get us to do things we don't want to and all kinds of stuff. And it says right here that God will protect us from the evil one. So it's awesome. I think that's just great. I mean, so what's God's purpose? Well, his whole purpose is that in the end, we win. I mean, we may have struggles in this world, but in the end result is we win. If we're Christians, we win. That's the bottom line. And how do we know that? Well, I'm going to read a verse that I know everybody here has heard, or the two verses, actually, John 3:16-17. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Well, that is just totally awesome. I mean, you shall not perish. And then he goes on, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And we don't think about that too much. You know, we always think of God sitting up there with his with his rod, you know, ready to whoop up on us anytime we mess up. I mean, that's kind of the picture we get. And most religions that you look at other than Christianity, they kind of teach that. God's just this guy. I mean, he's his ruler. I mean, he's going to rule with his iron rod. It's really not quite like that. He loves us. He doesn't want to beat up on us. He wants us to be successful. And that's just totally great. But you know, how do I know that out of that one verse? Well, I want to just read some more verses because, as always, you know, the Bible's better at saying it than I am. Now it says here, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise as some understand slowness. Because that's an excuse for some people. They're like, yeah, you know, Jesus was here 2,000 years ago and now we're, in, you know, 2,000 years later and he still ain't come back and things still ain't going good. So, well, I'll just keep reading. It'll explain it. It says, instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He says, you know what? I'm going to give them as much time as I can possibly can to give them a chance to come to know me. And then once they know me, Yeah, that's the time for me to come back. I don't want to just, there's so many, especially like we got really good friends. You look all around this track, get away from the track. We got really good friends that I want to see in heaven with us, and I'm sure you do too. So I'm kind of happy that God's patient and he's not hurrying into this and he's giving us a little extra time. So let's go on and see what else we can read out of the word. Now we know that God wants us to be successful. He wants us to succeed. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And how did he demonstrate it? Again, I mean, he sent Jesus. But when he sent him, here's another really good verse that a lot of people don't think about. It's out of Romans 5, 8 and verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, you know, you talk to people and like, nah, I don't go to church, you know, and people think they got to better themselves and make themselves better before they can go to a church or before they can acknowledge Jesus and all that stuff. And it's like, no, Jesus will take you just as you are. He could care less what you have done. All he's asking is that you repent, believe in what he did for you, and that you turn around and go the other way. He doesn't care. It'd be like going to the doctor after you're not sick anymore. I am sick. I can't hardly stand up. As soon as I can stand up and walk, I'm going to the doctor. That really doesn't work that way. And it's exactly the same with Jesus. He wants us to come now. And then when we come now, that's when he can help us. Well, something else that goes along with this, when you hear people say that, you go like, okay. Yeah, and I hear these preachers, you know, and they talk about how things are going to be great once I've received Jesus Christ. And, you know, all of it's going to be so really good. But then I look around me and I see sick Christians. I see Christians that lose their house. I see Christians that lose their cars. And, you know, there's Christians that struggle. Well, I don't understand all this. And again, I got to go back to the book because I just can't explain it myself real good. One of the reasons this happens because we do stupid stuff. We all do. I've done it time and time again. We do dumb stuff, and then some things happen because God allows them to happen. Well, let me read a verse out of Psalms. It says, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. So first of all, we have a promise. Even when things get tough, they are going to get better. God's not going to leave us there. You know, just like I read at the beginning. You know, it says, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Well, that goes right along with this verse too. But you're like, yeah, but man, why do I have to go through some of that? It just doesn't make sense. Well, God wants the real thing. He doesn't want somebody that says, well, Jesus, I love you, but as soon as things get tough, I'm gone. He doesn't want that. And I got to read out of 1 Peter. It says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. A lot of the things that we go through, and we got to make sure we know this. You know, some things just happen. We're in a world where people get sick. We're in a world where people make mistakes and they lose stuff and they lose their jobs, and it's not all caused by God. But God does allow us to go through troubles also. And sometimes you really don't want to, and it's like, God, why am I going through this again? But you do. And the thing we have to remember is that it's for our good. He wants us to be as good as we can possibly be. You got to look at this life here kind of like boot camp. This is preparing us for the afterlife. A lot of people have the think that when you die, you go to heaven, you're going to sit on this cloud, and you're going to play a harp, and you're just going to float around and sing these little songs. You know, if that's all it was, I'm not sure that I'd want to go. I mean, picture this. You're going to do that for eternity? I don't think so. That'd be just kind of boring. But we are going to heaven to worship God for eternity. But it says right there, we're going to rule the heavens. I mean, we're going to be working. We're going to be doing stuff. We're not just going to be sitting up there. And I really believe that everything we're learning here, we're going to take that with us. And we're going to be in heaven, and it's going to help us. So God's preparing us to the very best that he can, that when we get there, we're as good as we possibly are. And I think that's just awesome. So, yeah, we got to go through some things here. It ain't no different when somebody is working out to get in better shape. You know, I heard a story of this person. I'd never run a day in their life. They decided they wanted to run a marathon. And you're like, okay, that ought to work real good. I know me. I can go about a block and then I'm done. But this person, it took that person, from what I understand, like a year and a half to train. But then they could run the marathon. Well, being a Christian is kind of like that. You know, you got to run and you got to work at it and you get better at it. And it's not rules and regulations. It's trying to get better. And that's what God wants us to be. The day we close our eyes, we're the best that we can be for this world. And the rest of it, he'll cover that. Now, how do you get there? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, how do you get there? Well, I got to read my most famous verses that I've read I don't know how many times. Out of Romans, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say maybe, it says you will. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess your faith and are saved. Basically, what that's saying, you can't become a Christian and nobody knows about it. People probably will know about it if you're really a Christian. And we'll go on. It says, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. We're back to this anyone. It's not just somebody. This works for everybody. And then the final verse I want to read, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I am very thankful for that. So, the whole point of this message this morning is God does a whole bunch more things for us than we do for him. And the things that we do for him, we got to not look at them as rules and regulations. We got to look at them as training. And if we look at him as training, as him helping us get better and stronger, it's a whole bunch easier to do that. And then we also have to remember that he's a God of forgiveness. It doesn't matter how many times you mess up. He forgives over and over and over, which is really good because I mess up a whole lot. And, you know, I'm no better than anybody else. And it's really nice to know that when I say, God, forgive me, I know he did. And I can start all over. It's like starting with a new page every morning. You get out of bed, you start new slate. Just start all over. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for all you do. We thank you that you made it easy. Even so, it may feel hard a lot of times, but you made it easy for us to come to know you and to be with you in eternity. It seems tough at times, but like I said, it's boot camp. And it will make us stronger and better. And someday, when we're with you, we'll look back on this and say, yeah, it was easy. We thank you so much, Father God. So, Father, just be with us this day, Lord. I ask that you touch every person here with your Holy Spirit. Let them take something away that they can use today and in the times to come. Because it's not what I say that matters. It's what the Holy Spirit says that matters. And that's what's important. So, Father, just touch every person. We thank you so much. And Lord, as we get ready to go racing this morning, Lord, I ask that you protect us, watch over us, keep us safe. Let us have a good time in you, and as always, do it for your glory, not ours. We just thank you ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen.